We're going to talk about fear this morning, which is a perfect Christmas message, don't you think? It's a beautiful Christmas story, fear. And I was just thinking it might be good just to start today with full disclosure. Just, you know, us getting to know one another. Not all of you are in a CP1 group. You don't get a chance to share your hearts all the time, one to another. Let's just talk about some of the things that we're afraid of, shall we? And maybe be brave enough. Everyone's like, speaking in public is my number one fear. what are you afraid of? Like, seriously, like, you don't have to, like, divulge something really bad. But maybe it's, I heard my girls, they were in the fellowship hall this morning, and I heard them screaming, and I thought they had seen a mouse. And it wasn't. Something fell down. It was whatever. But I was like, that would be a fear. So maybe you're afraid, like, of critters, of mice. What are you afraid of? Somebody tell me. Yes, I was going to use that one. Driving in the snow. The snow is pretty from the inside with a warm cup of something, right? Driving in the snow. What else are you afraid of? What did you say? Yeah, we're going to get to that, honey. He said spiders. Anything else you're afraid of? What are you afraid of? Crashing your car? Oh, a plane. Tim's a pilot. He's afraid. It's good. It's good if you're afraid to crash a plane. It keeps you on your toes, right? That's good. Yeah. That comforts me. That's a good answer. Anybody else have a fear? Something that if it was faced with them, it would freak them right out. Something real. And please don't say, being alone. We're going to get to those kind of fears later, okay? Like, we're going to get there. Well, I was thinking about this idea of fear. There's fear on so many different levels, but like Rob was saying, he said spiders. I'm going to tell you a little story. You might have seen it on Twitter or heard me tell it, because it was so traumatic. We shared it with everybody. But this was in the fall, and Rob and I had come one Saturday night to do something. I think we were working on this piano or getting rid of the old one or something like that. And so we came to meet somebody here to get them to take it away in their trailer. It was Joey, my cousin Joey. And we get here first. We pull up to the front. Rob goes to unlock the door, and I'm just a few steps behind him. And I do something very silly. I look up at the awning above his head, and it is like, it's Halloween. Like, it's full of Halloween spiders. Like, just big ones, and they come out at night, and it was just something out of a movie. So, if you know me, you know I'm not one to just be like, I'll tell him about that after the fact. I was like, hey! Hey! He's like, what is going on? There's spiders! And I kind of forgot how much he hates spiders, too. And he's like, So, we run into the church in the safety of this sanctuary. And we look out the window, and sure enough, like, I was not exaggerating. It was just that time of year, you know, and we're out in the middle of kind of nowhere right now, and we are exposed to those kinds of things. And so the spiders had just found a beautiful home. We don't see them during the day because they hide up in the awnings, and then they come down. And we have some nice lights all around the building that attract their supper and stuff. It's like the perfect scenario for them, I understand. And we were just like, oh, that was so gross. Oh, that was so gross. What are we going to do? It was so gross. Ah. And then we're like, well, we're going to go out the side door with the piano. So we go to go out the side door. It is covered with the same spiders. So no joke, I FaceTimed the kids because they were home. And I said, guys, you have food. Lock the door. We can't leave. Like, we can't leave the church now. And they were like, ha! I'm like, I'm not joking. We can't. There's nothing we can do. And so I think Rob tweeted, can you show the picture, Noah? Yeah, that's the side door of the church. Yeah, now take it away because it's disgusting. Take it away. Take it away. Take it away. Anything but that. Yes, thank you. That was Rob's tweet that night. So Rob and I have shared this, which is not great, because in a marriage, we should really complement each other in this. Like, one of us is not afraid and one of them is, but it doesn't work very well for us this way. Thankfully, Joey came, pulled up. He thought we were joking. Like, we're like, we can't come out. There's spiders. He's like, we're like, it's not funny. We can't leave. We can't leave the church. He ended up getting like a box and like swatting at them, and so the story goes that when he swatted at them and they hit the box, they crunched, and like, it was bad. And so I stood in here, and then when we left, I covered my head and I ran, and everything was fine. But the story got told later that if you've ever seen like Lord of the Rings and the big spiders that wrap people up, we were like, Shelob was here and she had me, and we were pulling at each other. So, you know, that's kind of how the story ended up. So Rob and I have a deep dislike of spiders, which is silly. I know they're so little and we're so much bigger than them and all those things. They're just so creepy. So That is one of my big fears. And don't worry, on Monday that week, see, they're fine during the day, but Monday that week I asked Chris, I'm like, Chris is our custodian. I'm like, Chris, can you? So he sprayed something wonderful. I'm sure it was environmentally friendly. And something wonderful on all the doors and at the farmhouse, and the spiders all went away. So everything was fine after that. So we have to remember to do that before I get stuck in the church on a Saturday night again. But when I think about fears and some of our biggest fears, I always think of this Seinfeld clip. So let's, Noah, let's show them that.
I saw a thing, actually, a study that said speaking in front of a crowd is considered the number one fear of the average person. I found that amazing. Number two was death. Death is number two? This means to the average person, if you have to be at a funeral, you would rather be in the casket than doing the eulogy.
Is that true? Here I am standing up here speaking in front of people. I would rather be here than in the casket, I'll tell you right now. The truth is we all have fear. We might have silly stories about fear. Maybe you've had a mouse run through your house and you were standing up on the couch screaming. Like, we all have things that creep us out or that we're afraid of. We all have stories like that. But some of our fears are, I mean, being afraid of insects is really not very rational. We don't live in a place where spiders can really harm us. Some of our fears are manageable. You know, I found a way to manage my fear of spiders that night. Maybe not very rationally, but I ended up managing. Some of our fears are irrational. We know that. Some of our fears, like when I think about rational fears, I think about being afraid to touch a hot stove. That's a good reason to be afraid. Like, you shouldn't do that. There's a reason to be cautious when you drive in the winter. We all have fears that stuff will go wrong in the middle. Some of our fears are ridiculous. Like, really, when you think about it, some of our fears are really ridiculous. But some of our fears in our life, like I was saying earlier, some of the fears that we have are really, really real, very deep and very serious. And we might even have something in our life as serious as a phobia, something that you're really, really afraid of. And there's probably a reason for it. You could say that fear is part of our human condition. In some form or another, all of us have fear. Some of it, like I said, some of it's rational, some irrational, some even to the point of having phobias. And fear is typically our first response to something that we don't know about, we're unsure of, something in the unknown. Fear is typically our response to something that we don't trust. And as I was mentioning in the email devotional, fear is also part of, I'm getting like the no nod, it's not going to happen. Okay, good, fine. I'll just deal with it later. Fear is actually a really big part of the Christmas story. Fear is, really, I know that sounds weird because we don't ever talk about fear at Christmas, or at least we don't very often. We don't think about it very much because this is a season where we say peace on earth, you know, where hope, love, joy, peace, Christ, you know, these are the things that we focus on at Christmas time. And so much of this season, we talk about those kinds of things, and we focus on all the trappings of what we want it to look like and what we want it to feel like. And I kind of wonder if one of the reasons we do that is because we know that the world is not always those things. We know that our lives are not always those things. We know that there's the opposite of peace. There's the opposite of love. There's the opposite of hope in our world. And people love Christmas. I love Christmas. You love Christmas because it draws us back to these ideals of love and of peace and of hope. And then we try to capture it in the ways that we celebrate. We do try to capture it here on Sunday mornings together. We try to capture it in the songs that we sing. I know you do this at your homes by how you decorate your that you buy for one another and the way that we celebrate the meals that we share. We try to capture and celebrate all of those good things that we love about Christmas. But I would say that if there weren't fear, we wouldn't need peace and love and joy and hope and Christ. If we didn't know the opposite, we wouldn't be celebrating the reality that comes when Christ had come to earth. If you're following in the YouVersion app, these are already selected for you in your app there. But we're going to turn to the book of Luke, chapter 1. We're going to start there and we're going to skip. So if you want to do a sword drill this morning, this would be good practice for you. I just want to read a few select passages that deal with this fear thing. Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 11, it says this: Then the angels of the Lord appeared to Zechariah, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. And he will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth." And then skip ahead to verse 28. The angel went to Mary and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." And then if we skip over a chapter into Luke 2, starting at verse 8, it says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord.'" We also read a very similar passage about Joseph last week, how he had an angelic encounter and he was afraid. Each of these people that I just mentioned, Mary and Zechariah and the shepherds, and last week we talked about Joseph, they had reasons to be afraid. They really, really had reasons to be afraid. They were overwhelmed by the presence of an angel. Can you imagine if that happened to you today, what it would be like? They were overwhelmed with a fear of God and his holiness. Can you imagine being in that presence? The things that the angels were saying, that the messages that they were receiving, they were trying to understand the ramifications of what was going to happen in their lives and the lives of their families because of what was happening. And I can only imagine there was so much reason to fear. There was so much to be afraid of. I'm sure their minds were racing. You can try to put yourself in that position and try to imagine what it was like for them. But the message that God gave them through the angels was always the same. Always the same. Don't be afraid. This is not a story about fear. It's like the angel was saying, this is not a story about fear. This is a story about love and grace. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. This is coming from God who has always been. He's the one you've worshipped. You know him. He's the one who has always saved you and always delivered your people. You don't have to be afraid. Don't be afraid. There is nothing to fear. You know this God. You know that this is from him. You know this message. You don't need to be afraid. I'm going to invite Andy, who's been very busy for the last few minutes. Andy, as you come, I'm just going to introduce this. And maybe you could grab Rob's mic. Okay. In early October, I spoke a message called Anointed for Service as part of our Pentecostal series. And I talked about doing things that weren't just good to do, which is good to do good things and do good works, but to do things that were empowered by the Spirit. And I said, I actually listened to it, and this is the quote from that message. I said, "What would you have to deny yourself in order to walk in the anointed service that Jesus has called us, empowered us for, and has made available to us?" And then I said, "I want that question to bother you." And that wasn't in my notes. I just said that. "I want that question to bother you." And I meant it in the best possible way, of course. You know I love you guys, but I meant it in the best possible way. I wanted that question to stir something in you, and I wanted it to bother you. And I challenged everyone to tell someone what was in their heart, what the Holy Spirit was bothering them about, to text it to somebody, to email it to somebody, to chat with somebody about it, to not just let it sit there, but to say it out loud and to give it some feet and tell somebody what you're being bothered about and what you needed to act on. And so Andy emailed me later that day, and he said that he felt he was being called to talk to us about fear. And it was actually the catalyst for this Do You Hear What I Hear series. When I realized that through this, there were so many ways that we could express this phrase, "Do you hear what I hear?" And so I wanted to, I was excited to, actually I should tell them, he emailed me on Sunday right after the message. And I'm not in the office. I sometimes check my email, of course, but I was like, oh, it was a really serious email. So I didn't want to just flippantly say, cool, that sounds cool. You know, he had really told me what God was saying to him. And so I didn't respond for like 3 or 4 days because I wanted to respond well, not even thinking. This poor guy said, I want to speak about fear, that I just left him hanging there for 4 days. But here he is. We made it through. We made it. So this is Andy. If you guys don't know, Andy and Shola have two beautiful kids. And Andy has just really felt a call to talk about fear. And so, Andy, maybe you could just set that up for you or for us right from that challenge back in October.
Sure. So I'll be honest with the – really close.
Yeah.
So when I didn't get a response in the first few days, I started to hope that the email had actually not been received. So I'd done my part, and then there was nothing to follow up on it. So, yeah, the reason I'm here is because of Pastor Teresa's challenge, and it's something that I felt the Holy Spirit had been prompting me for quite a while, and I kept burying it down. You know, it was a scary thing to come up here and talk about things, and so I kept checking it and just making sure it was really the Holy Spirit that was prompting me and so on, and I did that for about 3 years. And then, no kidding. And then this message came out, and it was bam, straight at me, and I thought, I've got to respond to it this time.
So why do you think the Holy Spirit was prompting you to speak about fear? What's your track record? Like, what's the background there?
I think it's one of those things when God sees that you're going through something, he wants to make good use of it. And for me, I've struggled with fear for as long as I can remember. And my feeling is that God wants that not to go to waste, you know. So I battled with it for my entire life, more or less.
Why don't you go back to some of the incidents you've had, like all through your growing up? What's your background of fear? You and I were talking about that a little bit. Share a little bit about that.
So as Pastor Tracy said, some of the fears that we have are irrational, and the vast majority of mine were. Just like as a small kid, I'd be frightened of going into a shop to buy candy, for instance. You know, imagine that you've got some money to go and buy candy, and you can't actually go and buy it because you're frightened of tripping over your words in the store and so on. And so that's probably the smallest fear I started off with. But I wouldn't give in to it. I wanted my candy, so I went ahead and carried on with it. You know, you just have to face up to it and get through it somehow. But there's been kind of bigger and bigger challenges, I guess, as I've got older. I figured there would be a point where I just got comfortable and, you know, I wouldn't be bothered by things anymore, but that doesn't seem to be the case. Mm-hmm. More recently, there was something that really got to me. And I was on a visit to Oxford in the UK with Shola. And we were using a bus, which is something I don't normally do. We usually drive everywhere, but on vacation we do use buses and stuff. We were sat at the back of a bus, and it was very busy. And they stopped to pick a lady up. She had two kids and a stroller. And she really wrestled to get the kids together and on the bus, and then got the stroller on there. And she went to the bus driver and went to give the money, and she only had a £10 note, and the bus driver refused to accept it. And the only option for her was to get back off the bus again. And I had £10 in my pocket, and I could go up there and I could give it to the driver and say, keep the change, it doesn't matter about the change, just to keep the lady on the bus. But it was a full bus, and I was really conscious of all the people on there, and so I did nothing. I stayed sat at the back of the bus, and I watched as the bus pulled away and the lady was stood at the side of the road. And all that was just because I was frightened of what people might think of me. I might embarrass myself or whatever. And that's really sort of stayed with me.
You were talking in your email to me, but also when we chatted about how fear is natural. I mentioned that a little bit too. I stole that a little bit from you. So fear is natural, right? You were saying that... But fear is mentioned, do you remember the statistic of how many times in the Bible?
So I went and checked it again. It depends on your translation, obviously, but over 250 times it's mentioned, and afraid is in the Bible around about 200 times. So it's pretty obvious that God wants us to know that being afraid is natural.
Right. And then you were talking to me about how it stops us from doing things we should.
Yeah.
Yeah. So talk to us about your experience in that. Maybe the woman on the bus too.
The woman on the bus is a really good example. But you know, there are other times when you know if somebody's asked you to do something, serving God in particular, and just holding back because you're afraid to do it. You may feel embarrassment or whatever. I mean, recently we were asked, Joel and I were asked to do the question of faith, and I didn't hesitate to jump in there with both feet. If I'd hesitated, I would have thought about it, I would have worried, I would have got frightened, I wouldn't have done it. Mm-hmm. So I just went ahead.
Yeah. And you also talked to me about how the devil can use fear and how effective that is. What's your experience in that?
Definitely. He always drops these thoughts in the back of your mind that, you're gonna make a mess of this. You're not very good at this kind of thing. Why are you even trying? And, of course, that if he did that to every one of us here and stopped us all serving, that would be a really effective weapon.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So you believe that fear can be overcome, right?
Yeah.
You believe that. What has happened to you in your life to make you believe that?
I mean, I have a track record of fear, but I think I also have a track record of beating it as well. And that's a case of, before I was Christian, it was a case of just, you know, finding techniques to deal with it and going on anyway. I think there's a book called Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway, something like that. So that kind of approach.
But tell us about the change that happened in your life when you found Christ, which was about, what, nine years ago or so, right? When you found Christ, how did your relationship with fear change?
So you have a completely different set of tools to use. So once you know God is with you, that's a really powerful thing. And if you actually think about who God is and what he's capable of, then really it's a little bit crazy that you're frightened of anything.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, that doesn't stop us. We're human and so on. We will still be frightened from time to time. But it was really good to remember the names of God and basically just what he's capable of.
What do you mean, the names of God? I mean, I know. Yeah. I know. He told me before. But
So depending on your circumstance, you can pick the particular flavor of name that applies to that. Mm-hmm. So Jehovah Rapha, for instance, which is...
God is our healer.
Yeah, we'll do. So that kind of thing. So you focus on exactly what he can do for you in your particular circumstance.
Mm-hmm. So we were kind of listing these names, right? He's omnipresent. He's omnipotent. Even those things, you know, we even sing about those. But Jehovah Jireh, he's our provider. Jehovah Rapha, he's our healer. You know, we can always be reminded of things. I thought that was such a great way to think about fear inside of your relationship with Christ. You have a story about your CEO visiting you at the office. Tell us about that.
Yes, in my first job in Canada, I worked in a very small company, and it was very much a hire and fire mentality, and people were let go every week, more or less. And the CEO, who was based in California, would drop in sort of every 4 weeks or so, and he shouted me across the office, and I thought, oh, here we go, you know. And as I was walking towards the office, I could see the CEO and the VP sat in there, and I thought, this could be it. And as I was walking across, I just remembered really clearly, God goes before me. And when I got there, it was just a routine meeting, and you know, everything was fine.
I mean, it wasn't fun.
No.
As you told me the story, it wasn't fun. So tell me what the result has been of you choosing to step beyond your fear. Like, why bother going through the mental exercise? Why bother facing your fears? Why bother, you know, meeting these challenges? Why not just, you know, not send me the email about, you know, why not just, like, what kind of the why bother question? What's been the result of stepping beyond your fear?
If you don't face your fear, then they trap you in. And what I've found is by beating each one and stepping out a little bit further each time, that the world gets slightly bigger. If you don't do that, it pens you in at whatever point you're at. So if I'd stopped right at the start, I'd still be a kid that's frightened of going into a candy store.
Mm-hmm. True. And so what does that boil down to for you? What does all this boil down to? what do you want to make sure that you can say to your church family? Because we know, you know, I know, and I kind of mentioned that you felt really called to talk to your church family about fear because it's been such a big part of your life and something that's been, you know, such an impact on you. So if you had a one or two or seven things you wanted to say to your church family to make sure they really heard you, what is it you wanted to tell us about fear?
If you are confident that God is calling you to do something and the only thing that's stopping you is fear, then step out.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I've seen this in Andy's life and in Shola's life. If you know Andy, you've seen him do this. But Question of Faith in particular, which was a ministry we started this fall, which is literally just discussion groups. People can ask whatever questions they want, was a big part of that. And I watched you just jump into that and say, sure. I thought for sure you'd take weeks to think about it, but you right away, maybe now I understand why he did it. Yes, before I think about it too much, right? Yeah. So when you, what you're saying is when you know that God is calling you to do something, you just need to do it. Yeah. It seems really too simple a little bit. Like it seems too simplified. Is there something that you do in your life to make it so that you're able to actually just say yes when you feel those things? Because I think a lot of us would love to be able to do that. This is a question not on the sheet. I'm sorry.
I think it's easier to jump in there and do it, commit yourself before you think about it too much, because you start to open up all the past fears and so on if you think about it too much.
How do you know that what you're thinking about or what you're feeling is from God?
That's the key. That's the key point, isn't it?
It is, isn't it? We'd love to know, wouldn't we, everyone?
Scripture and yeah, there's all the ways of, you know, talking with you, Pastor Dell, whatever, but just confirm it first as much as you can. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know that Andy has done this so much because so often, there's been a couple of things in the last several months that have come up that you've just kind of wanted to jump in and be obedient to what you felt like God was saying to you. And so Andy will do that. And then every once in a while, he'll send an email. Like, so when he said yes to Question of Faith, it was a difficult step, like a challenging step, but he did it. And then he emailed me a couple days later, and in his devotions, he went back to Joshua chapter 1, you know, be strong and courageous. He's like, this coincidentally, you know, just dropped in my devotions. But that's part of it, right? Yeah. Is that you just listen for God's confirmation and those kinds of things. Is that fair to say? Yeah.
So I've had an interesting week this week. So I started a new job on Monday, and then I had this on Sunday. And before both of them, God provided me with a big distraction. One was the technology failing.
Yeah, that was great, wasn't it?
And the other was a flat battery on the car, which meant I was late for work on my first day. So a distraction is not a bad technique either.
But that's the truth, isn't it? We talked about that last week and the week before, that just because God's calling you to do something doesn't mean that it's trouble-free or always easy, right?
That's right.
There's often challenges along the way. And so lastly, what's your challenge for your church family? What's the challenge you want to leave them with that you felt and you want to pass on to them?
It's definitely that point of acting on a calling. If you feel you've got that calling, to go ahead and do it. Don't let the fear stop you.
And I think just to add to that, you said this to me in our pre-interview. You said, choose one thing that you're scared of and act on it. And it doesn't have to be like a new ministry. It doesn't have to be a big thing that everybody even sees or knows about, right?
That's
just
right. Yeah.
Just choose one thing that you have in your heart and act on it. Yeah? Is that fair? Let's say thanks to Andy for sharing with us this morning. You just never know what God is going to be speaking into your heart. You just never know what he might have for you next, you know? And that's what I love so much about Andy's email and his story. He wouldn't say that he's a public speaker. He wouldn't say that, you know, that's his gift or that's his calling. But he was just wanted to be so obedient to sharing his own confidence that fear can be overcome, and it doesn't have to be the thing that defines your life. And I love that so much, and I appreciate his faith and his confidence to act in obedience. 1 John 1:1-3, our theme verses for this series, says, "We proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen. We saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands. He is the word of life. The one who is life itself was revealed to us, and we have seen him. And now we testify and proclaim to you that he's the one who is eternal life. He was with the Father, and he was revealed to us. We proclaim to you that what we ourselves have actually seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. To me, that's exactly why we've done these interviews. We love to tell stories. It's not always easy to do. It takes a lot of prep work to do. But with the Wingers and with the Bromleys and with Andy, we wanted so much to tell you guys some stories. Because when you, just like what John is saying in the opening of his letter, we saw him with our own eyes. This is what Andy's story is. I have seen this with my own eyes. I have touched him with my own hands. I proclaim to you what I myself have actually seen and heard. There's so much power in understanding the story of Christ through somebody's life lived out. And I hope that you've received that from Andy and from the other stories we've been telling. Andy's story and challenge to us says something loud and clear. Fear is the beginning of the story for so many of us. It really is. It was the beginning of everybody's Christmas story, all of the characters that we know and love so much. But fear is not the end of the story. It might be a secondary character, but it is not the theme, and it does not drive the outcome. Not when your life is centered on Christ. And the reason why that can be true, other than just the obvious, because Jesus is so amazing. John, later on in that same letter, says this in chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. He says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. But the one who fears is not made perfect in love, but we love because he first loved us." Perfect love drives out fear. And in case you haven't made that connection yet, of course, Christ is the epitome of perfect love. And there is no reason to fear. There really is, there's so much going on in 1 John 1, chapter 4. If you have a chance, it's so much incredible insight on love. John is so great at writing about God's love. And we won't dig into all of that today, because there's just, that's a whole other thing. But if you're making a note, maybe make a note to meditate a little bit on 1 John chapter 4 this week or in the coming weeks. Surrounding these verses that I just read in verses 18 and 19, we get the idea that love is made perfect not in our perfect understanding of it. It's not because we're going to mentally assent to how much God loves us. It's not because we're going to totally figure it out. Good luck with that. It's so beyond what we can understand with our human minds. But in our expression of it, in how we love one another, and how we receive love from God and express it into the world around us, in the living it out as we receive it from God, that's how we are made perfect in love. That's how we understand God's love for us. And that's the thing that drives out fear. It's that action of receiving love from God and then acting on it in whatever that looks like. And couple that with the idea that this God love eclipses fear. You really do have a recipe here to meet the challenge that Andy offered up to you this morning. When you know and are receiving love from this God of love, God who is love, you have everything that you need to meet the challenges that he's offering to you, to walk past the fear that has stopped you from doing the things that you know you want to do next or are in your heart to do, or that would maybe be risky to reach out and to minister to somebody, but in this God love is so incredible. It gives you everything that you need to meet that fear. When the angel tells Zechariah and Mary and Joseph and the shepherds not to be afraid, he wasn't just telling them to buck up. He wasn't just like, "Hey guys, chill out. I have something to tell you. Just buck up and let's get on with this." He was telling them, I might be reading into this a little bit, but really I do believe this. It wasn't just don't be afraid. It was that he was telling them there is about to be an outpouring of God's love on the earth. And it is going to be more than you would have even known how to ask for, more than you could have imagined. And you have a part to play in it. I don't think that's an exaggeration. Because Christ was about to show up on the earth. And the angels were announcing to the people, like these main characters in this story, listen, something incredible is going to happen. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of me and I'm an angel. Don't be afraid of that, okay? But you don't have to be afraid ever. Like there's about to be the most incredible outpouring of love on earth in the incarnation of Christ. You're a part of this story. There is nothing to fear. And that is our story as well. Because we live in a time here where we know that Christ came. We know that he lives. We know that he lives in us. He gives us assurance through the Holy Spirit, and we can walk that out every day. If God is for us, who can be against us? Those are not just cool words to sing. Those are truths for our life. That's like when you're going to meet, you're going into a meeting and you don't know what's going to happen and there is fear. You remember who your God is. It may not turn out how you want to, but there's no reason to be afraid. When you feel called to a ministry and you think, yeah, but what if it doesn't work? Yeah, but what if they say no? Yeah, but what if nobody shows up? But you meet it anyway because you don't have to be afraid because God's not about you. God goes before you. He has already poured his love out to us and made it available to us in every way. I think that's why the phrase, we love this Christmas phrase, this scripture, there's good news of great joy that will be for all the people. That's for us. That was for them. It's for us. There's good news of great joy. People who don't live under the yoke of fear. So we come back to the main question and ask, what are you afraid of? I wish maybe what I need to do is submit my fear of spiders to the Lord. But really and seriously, what are you really afraid of? What are the things in your life that are more than just those irrational, silly things that we're afraid of? What are the things that you would love to step out on, you'd love to try, you kind of feel called to, but you're afraid to do? What are those things? And how can you say to the God, listen, I understand you're bigger than this, and I don't want to walk in fear. I want to walk in perfect love that comes from you. If you're a list maker, then this last little bit is for you. Here are some reasons to choose faith over fear. One, God is love. His love eclipses fear. Two, God is all. We talked a little bit about this, omnipotent, omnipresent, eternal, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha. I just read this in the Old Testament recently, Jehovah Nisi, God is my victory, God is my banner. I love that. God is all. And thirdly, God can be trusted. God can be trusted. I don't know if you've experienced this in your life, but I know that so many of you have. When you look back, you can say, I know that God can be trusted. I know that he's faithful. I've seen him. I have no reason to fear. I'm going to choose faith. And so I just want Andy's challenge to, I was going to say bother you, but we've done that already. Just to think about Christmas, to think about this story, to think about those characters who were in it and interacting and how that same truth, that same incarnation of Christ is true as true for us today as it was for them. And that as you face different things, sometimes for people, Christmas can be a very challenging time. With the stresses and with family members. And it's not always pretty and it's not always easy, but you can walk understanding that you are an expression of God's love as he's poured it out into your life. And that we are not people who need to walk in fear.